Lunch was over, the few dishes taken care of, and still there was no word of Damien leaving his room. Right, that's it. Lucia hit the cutlery drawer a wallop and marched upstairs to prime herself for a visit to the Garda station. She tugged the cord for the small light above the bathroom mirror and surveyed the hard-eyed gaze she would give the sergeant. Then, using plain brown clips prized open with her teeth, she secured her dark hair in a tight knot and spoke to her reflection in a low voice. So, my son's an ill-reared layabout, is that it? Downstairs, pale winter sun came through the door glass and offered a glimmer to the laminate floor. She pulled on her pure wool coat and called up to her boy.
All right, Damien. I'll not be long, hon.
Where are you going, ma'am?
To the sergeant to get your car back.
The floorboards squeaked. He opened his bedroom door sharpish.
Reynolds, sure he'll not listen to you. Look at, I'll organise a taxi to work.
To hell with that. Taxis and a perfectly good car lying idle in the pound. I'll go to the newspapers if I have to. He flew out the bedroom door then, gripped the top banister, his eyes all big and worried. Dear love him.
Jesus, ma'am, the papers. Leave it. You can't argue with Reynolds.
Could she not? She'd go in and put some manners on him. She'd be like someone off the TV. A lawyer woman. Calm. No emotions. She'd rehearsed what to say. Damien's phone throbbed, an electric guitar ringtone, and his head jerked at the noise. Wait, he yelped.
Close your door, hon. Keep the heat in.
But he was away already to the phone. Outside, St. Kevin's was quiet yet. The cold kept the young lads off the green. Lucia loved the afternoon peace before the teenage rowdies landed off the school bus. Of course, next door's Peugeot drove up and muscled in on Damien's space. The glossy red bonnet nosed way past the point where her garden ended and Lucia's began. Steph slammed the car door with the jut of her arse.
Well, Lucia.
She was in her night suit, scarlet PJs stuffed into clumpy Ugga boots.
Well, Steph, your Damien's gone away. No, he'll want that parking space later.
Lucia slid her good gloves on, smoothing soft leather down each finger. The gloves were lined and all, matched her handbag. Presents from Damien, Christmas just gone. Lucia's Cuban heels clunked solid and tough on the march down Main Street. Silvery veins of frost glistened on grey concrete. A pretty picture, she reckoned. Going past the Dunn Store's window, she caught a glimpse of herself and smiled. The strides of her too. There'd be no son of Lucia Fortune hiding in his room, waiting on a court case, ashamed to take his meals at the kitchen table. He'd hold himself up there Friday night. White-faced he was, shaking with the dog's abuse that Reynolds one had given him.
Leave it, ma'am. Leave it.
But she'd coaxed it out of him.
Reynolds reckoned I've near enough hung meself the bother I'm in. He did, no messing.
Inside the grey-bricked Garda station, the reception seemed abandoned. At a wooden counter with a frosted glass window, a sign said, "Ring bell and take a seat." Lucia pressed a white button, which gave a sharp buzz. But there was no movement behind the glass. She changed her bag from one shoulder to the other. Not much use the bell there and no one to answer it. Pressing harder this time, she glanced at the wooden bench along the back wall. Jagged letters spelt out nicknames and curse words. She reckoned some of those names were from her estate. Another wall displayed posters with advice about passports, paying fines, where to register vehicles. Lucia stayed at the counter. Beyond the window, a phone rang and a man's voice answered it, loud and slow, like the person on the other end was half deaf.
"This is Sergeant Reynolds."
"Yes, I got the report." "Well, you may tell them they can wait. Another hour won't kill them."
Lucia swallowed. The lungs on him, though. She could have heard him from Main Street.
"What do they expect? An all-out search?"
"I'm on my own today.
Anyway, there's someone here. I'll talk to you.
A bulky shape loomed behind the glass. Lucia turned slightly, like she might be reading a poster. The window slid sideways with a rasp. A man in shirt sleeves slapped a form down on his side of the counter. His pen darted across lines and filled in boxes. He stopped writing and stared at Lucia.
Well? What is it?
He had steel blue eyes with pale stubby lashes, peppered grey hair. Lucia glanced at a desk behind him. On a pile of papers sat a navy Garda cap. I'm here about my son. You lot have his car. He sighed, resumed writing. What's he called, this son of yours?
Fortune, Damien Fortune, Guard.
She plunked her bag on the counter. He kept on writing whatever he was writing. He put a squiggle at the bottom of the page and stabbed a full stop beside it.
Sergeant. It's Sergeant Reynolds. Your name is...
He glanced at her bag on the counter. Lucia Fortune.
Give me Damien's date of birth and address.
7th of the 11th, 1992. Number 8, St. Kevin's...
Ah, that Damien Fortune. The boy who thinks he can gallivant off and not keep to the same rules as everyone else. Driving unaccompanied on a provisional licence.
A serious offence, let me tell you. He's going nowhere, your son.
Oh, is that right? Going nowhere? Well, actually, he has a decent job, Sergeant. Ill-reared layabout, I don't think so.
Reynolds folded his arms, raised his eyebrows. She pulled her gloves off, threw them in her bag.
There'd be none of this nonsense if Sergeant Malone was still around. He wouldn't have put any pass on young chaps driving on a provisional. As long as they'd put in for the test and they weren't racing about acting the maggot.
Well, missus, it's not Sergeant Malone any more. Whatever about the licence, the law is the law. All cars on the road must be taxed.
But it's only 2 weeks out. He'll pay it. Look it. He has a decent job in an office. He doesn't want to get himself a bad name. And sure, half the parish are at it.
Reynolds cast his eye to the ceiling. What's this? You think I should treat him any different to anyone else?
But he's not been in bother before. And you've queer freaked him out with all that suicide talk. Some bad that is.
Come on, no, Mrs. Suicide be demmed. I haven't all day for your boy's fairy tales.
He picked up his pen. You said he'd near enough hung himself. I could report you for that. It's in the papers every other week about suicide.
He clucked his tongue. Young buckos, you couldn't say boo to them and they're running home to their mammies for their blankies.
Sure, wasn't I doing him a favour, giving him the big picture?
Not a smart course of action, him in line for a court case and planning to move halfway round the world. He's going nowhere, your son. He should have put his house in order, got the car taxed before trying to sell it. He'll ruin his prospects in Australia, you know. They don't take just any gazebo with a criminal record.
Lucia snorted. Australia? Who said anything about Australia?
Reynolds set his pen down. Well, your son had plenty to say. A life in the sun? He's near enough raised the ticket money.
Lucia shook her head. Wait a minute now. We're not talking about the same person here. Damien Fortune, selling his car. Moving to Australia. Are you cracked or what? Why would he go there? Sure, he has a job. He wouldn't go without...
Without what? Without telling you?
Would he not?
He told me soon enough.
He has the car advertised on the internet.
Lucia opened her mouth and closed it again. She stared at a poster offering advice in Irish, English and Polish. The letters blurred. All those niggly bits and pieces lately. How the hell did she not cop on? Damien flogged a stack of CDs to that foreign lad on their doorstep last week. Packed them into two boxes and your man handed him a few fifties, happy out. 60-litre capacity. Sure, I'm only minding it for someone, ma'am. Minding it be damned.
Here. Lucia.
Maybe you'd better sit down.
Reynolds pointed. She shook her head, but sat down anyway. Her hands gripped the bench. She stared at the grim-looking floor with its pretend marble lino.
Now, what's all this?
Your son didn't tell you he was off to Australia.
He spoke quieter than before.
Young bucks, eh? They just get a notion into their heads and then, bam, they're gone.
One there last year. Sure, the son took off to Sydney, told no one. Texted his mother 3 weeks later.
But it's too far away. Anything could happen to him. He'll not get his job back. Someone else will snap it up.
His job? He's a job lined up in Australia. Says he got an email.
Look, I doubt any harm will come to him. If he gets there.
Lucia pulled at her scarf, evened up the two blunt ends. A job lined up in Australia. Was the job here not good enough? Not good enough for the smart fellow with the smart emails on his Christmas laptop. She left the bench, leaned on the counter.
What's this, you say? If he gets there?
Reynolds went and reached over his desk, took a calendar off the wall, brought it to Lucia.
Well, if he has a court case to contend with, it could take a while. You're talking April, maybe May.
Boxed numbers below days of the week. He flipped pages on the calendar.
A court case could stall his travel plans. Or who's to know? Would he get there at all? He's looking at the cost of a solicitor, the car tax, the fine. They'd fairly eat at the savings. Maybe he'll be here for the duration.
So he'd have to stay here to go to court. Give up Australia.
Well, that's up to you. What do you want from all this?
Reynolds rehung the calendar, then twisted a key in a filing cabinet beside his desk. He pulled a drawer open and went through a wad of green folders. He let out a small, aha, and pulled out a book. It had black letters punched onto the front. Summons book. He brought it to Lucia. He turned pages and flattened the spine. He spoke low as if talking to himself. His mouth barely moved.
Some yahoo all the same. Never letting on to his mother. Have to hear it in the Garda station.
Lucia pulled her gloves out and rolled them into a ball like a pair of old socks.
You may take him to court, so.
Frost on car roofs glittered hard as diamonds as she marched back to St. Kevin's. The cold snap continued as cruel as promised. But Lucia's gloves stayed in the bag. The bag strap gnawed at her shoulder. Next door's curtains were open on a scene like something off TV. Steph's two lads roared and punched at one another. Steph pushed her way through the brawl and threw open her living room window. She looked frazzled, strands of hair in her face.
Is Damien home? Do you want the car moved?
Lucia cast her eyes above. Damien had number 8, lit up like electricity cost nothing.
Selfish little bastard. Don't you worry about the car, hon.
He was home all right. Home for the duration.
That was He's Going Nowhere, Your Son, by Fiona O'Rourke, read by Catherine Walsh. It was shortlisted in this year's RTE Francis McManus Short Story Competition. The series of 25 shortlisted stories continues on Monday with Bus by Dermot Christophers, read by Hugh O'Connor. You'll find the shortlisted stories and other information on the programme website, rte.ie/radio1/Francis McManus Short Story. The series producer of the Francis McManus Short Story Competition is Cliallini Onlone.